champion to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Suns fans. Welcome back to the Sons of Anarchy After Show here on AfterBuzz TV, talking about Season 7, Episode 9, What a Piece of Work is Man. I'm Matt Lieberman. Joining me, as always, Mr. Stephen Lemieux is here.
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
Yes, Kevin Undergaro, once again, not with us, but he will be back next week. We promise, we swear, he will be at the table. And joining us this week, we have a very special guest. Can we get that down a little bit, please? We have a very special guest, Mr. Jacob Vargas, who plays Montez on the show. Welcome to the show,
man. Thank you,
man.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, what a monster of an episode. Poor Bobby.
It's a crazy episode.
I can't believe Bobby's gone. Bobby. I mean, we should have known after he was being tortured for so long.
Is there any hope he can come back? Is there any hope?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to come back from that kind of wound.
Yeah, close range, gaping hole in the head.
I mean, grave dug.
Yeah. Montez would have wasted his time digging a grave if he came back.
Exactly. Montez has better things to do than dig false graves.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So. He does not dig an idle grave.
But it's Bobby.
I know. It's sad. We're all sad.
I knew he was dead the moment they took him, though. I mean,
really?
You had a feeling like the fact... Like, there's no way he's getting out of this, out of the club alive at the point of not having fingers and not having an eye, because it's ride or die.
Yeah.
And you look at what was Piney. Piney got out of riding, basically, but he didn't survive because they stayed part of the club. And I didn't see Bobby's character going that direction.
Yeah, I had some hope. I had hope.
You know,
I thought that Moses saw him as a strong soldier and would have some, you know, some kind of honor and maybe have some mercy and,
but it wasn't his call.
No, it wasn't his call.
You're right. I can actually see his character moving forward if this wasn't the final season. Because I could see with Chucky and Bobby, like, Chucky giving him crap around Telemaro with, like, the fingers missing and, like, I'll make you a glove just like mine. Kind of like character development, but, like, not on the final season, like,
no.
There's no point in opening up another arc.
No, as soon as he was like, wait, we got to break your jaw. I'm like, something's up here.
Right.
Like, there's
you're not
no
supposed
way
to be talking.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, it's just you come down to the way that whole scene was framed. The scene of the standoff, the handoff between the two between Marks and Jax. You know, they ride into the bottom of the frame as they're all spread out. It's like just a beautifully staged shot. And you know that something epic is about to happen.
Right.
But let's back up a bit. So, obviously, at the top of this episode, we are trying to get a hold of the phone with the video on it so that they can show that to Marks, finally get him to surface after all this time. Get him to surface and try to get Bobby back. One more last-ditch effort. And, you know, he's not having it. They finally get to come face-to-face after all this bloodshed. And I love seeing Marks and Jax in this episode. You know, these are two guys who are very strongly principled. You know, Marks is still ever playing the businessman, even after he's hired a frickin' hit squad to dismember Bobby piece by piece, which is just harrowing. I mean, what did you guys think? Did you enjoy seeing these two together again?
Yeah, I mean, it was great seeing, you know, the two heads of the groups kind of come together. Because, I think it can either go, you know, great for them and they can work it out, or it's just going to go really bad. And we saw how that went.
There's always an interesting dynamic when you have the heads of the snakes against each other. Because it's always just... They've built these characters in such a way that it makes it feel like there's so much more at stake. Because when you look at maybe like Chibs beating up Tyler, like that didn't happen. But I'm saying like if you look at Tyler and Chibs having a war or having like an issue, it just doesn't seem on the same scale as when you see just Jax and August Marks looking into each other's eyes.
Mm-hmm. I was impressed that he showed up at all. Yeah, I figured he was going to be working through his mouthpiece for the rest of the season. But
And that's kind of how you know it was a serious situation. And you know, it was going to, like I said, it was going to either get fixed or and really badly.
Well, you know it was going to go bad when he said, "No, I just want the boy there. I just want the boy there.
I just want him there so I can explain to him."
And then if they didn't have a gun, I'm like, "Okay, well, if they're not going to kill the boy, and he said he's not going to kill the boy."
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. What impresses me is that Chibs isn't racked with guilt for the entire rest of the episode for not frisking Bobby. He never would have could have considered that there would be a gun on Bobby.
They wouldn't let him near him, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, but
I mean, Jax could have just as easily hidden a gun in the preacher's body bag.
That's true. Mm-hmm. So, I was half expecting that.
Yeah, like, I thought, I honestly, when I was watching this scene, I thought August Marks had a gun in the preacher. Like, maybe the preacher had something on him when he died that they didn't even realize.
Oh, you mean when he checked the tattoo?
Well, he was checking the tattoo, but I don't know why I was thinking that the preacher could have had a gun on him.
Yeah, because it was body parts. It was like a naked body that they then dressed. Right.
Was it naked?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Those were the
son of one, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know why I was thinking. I was thinking August was going to somehow get a gun out of that, and then we would have found out who the mole was.
We got to talk about that, too, but we're going to talk about that in just a minute. I want to talk about when the kid, first of all, he clubs you.
Right, yeah, I get hit in the head with a tire iron.
With a tire iron.
Yeah, Grant takes off.
Yeah, and he just bolts.
Right.
And half the club's chasing after him on their bikes, and he throws Happy off his bike, and Happy, when he catches up to him, he just slugs him, and he's just sort of like, "I will kill you." Like, it's been a long time since we've seen Happy get to go off on somebody.
Yeah.
So it's been nice. We got a couple of nice Happy beats.
And he plays it so well. Deal is a really dangerous looking guy.
Is he intense?
He's super intense. Okay. I mean, so he'd be like, "You know, bro, this is the greatest lunch ever, bro. This is fucking amazing. This chicken is so delicious, bro." I mean, that's
always on.
Always on, man. Mm-hmm. It's just him. He's not playing a character.
I love that scene with him and Tig where it's like, "You know what? I like when we go out together because I feel like I'm the normal one."
Right.
Yeah. Happy's just like,
"It's like, can I do it?"
Yeah.
He's like, "I want to be the one."
Excited. Oh, brother.
Oh, God.
Some psychos.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the rat, right? Because we've got Indian Hills shows up out of nowhere to let Jax and Chibs know that they're calling a forum. They're going around to all the other NorCal chapters, all the other charters. They're going to have a debate over whether or not this was sanctioned. No matter what Jax says, and first of all, he is lying.
Yeah.
The jury never admitted it.
The jury was going for his gun.
Yes, but
two. So,
but the first thing he says is he admitted to being the rat when jury said, "I'm not the rat."
Mm-hmm. He killed him over personal reasons. He slugged him over personal reasons. He killed him in self-defense, but he put himself in that situation through something personal and then lied about it to cover it up.
Isn't it interesting how Jax, and I believe this might be semi-prediction, but it's interesting how the season starts with us going to war with the Chinese, expanding that into war with Alvarez as well, and then Marks, and then teaming back up with Alvarez, having war with everyone, and now what we're getting is the ignition of a civil war that perhaps the end of the series is the club tearing itself apart.
Interesting.
Out of all the bloodshed from outside sources, it's the club itself that tears itself apart.
Do you think that the show has to end with Sam Crow finished, with the Sons of Anarchy being disbanded?
I think it does.
Really?
And I don't think it means no motorcycle club, but I think Sons of Anarchy is disbanded. Because I think it needs to be something else. Like, we watch Bar Rescue here all the time. Bar Rescue's great. And when you have a bar that's named John's or something in the neighborhood, everybody knows John sucks. Everybody knows that John sucks. Okay, we're going to remodel it. We're going to redo drinks. We're going to completely change it. You still name it John's. It's still going to be John's, and John sucks.
It's still going to suck.
So you still got Sons of Anarchy. You're going to redo it. You're going to start coming up green. You're going to be nice. You're going to obey the law. You're still Sons of Anarchy, and you're still Sam's Crow. Sam Crow.
Yeah.
So I think it will revive in a different way than we imagine, but I think Sam Crow, Redwood Originals, are no more.
interesting.
Interesting.
If anyone lives to see the end of the series.
I know, right?
Yeah. God. But
the only people who deserve to aren't even alive anymore.
But I have to agree, because that's the thing about what happened last episode into this episode with Indian Hills, with also the casting of Tony Curran as the now president of Indian Hills, because he's a fantastic actor.
He's a great actor.
You wouldn't cast him if he wasn't getting something juicy to do. We don't have a ton of time left in this series, but it's the one threat that none of us could have expected. Mm-hmm. Is something internal, and to have the club turn on Jax for what he has become. Because it's not just the lie that Jury admitted to being the rat. They then also cover up their own actions in killing the kid, mm-hmm. and saying that that was the Chinese retaliation, taking themselves completely out of the picture. But that makes it... Why would he rat to the Chinese if the Chinese killed his kid? That doesn't make any sense. Their story is full of holes.
Well, even right. then... Oh, yeah, their story is completely full of holes.
It's complete BS.
But even then, it's not that we didn't expect Sam Crow to have internal struggle, because we expected that with Gemma killing Tara and with Juice and all of that.
But not it's Sam Crow, Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. not the entire...
The entire club.
Yeah, the entire club
worldwide
against itself.
Worldwide club.
Yeah, there's so many holes in it. And you know what? It's also... It's the problem is that Jax has had them... Their efforts are going into wasted areas with the Chinese, with all that, and now with even the rat, because they were like, you know, they say it two episodes ago, we need to find this rat a long time ago, so mm-hmm. let's find this rat now. Okay, well, Jax has basically called off the hunt for the rat because he's saying Jury was the rat. Well, meanwhile, there's still a rat,
mm-hmm.
and who knows right. whose pockets he's in, because he could be a universal rat. It might not have even been Lynn. And I think it was Marks. And I think Marks told Lynn.
But I don't know. First of all, I don't know all that logic. I don't know who it could be. You mentioned Borofsky, I believe, last week on the show. Did they tell Tyler where the guns were? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember.
That's the one thing. You got to stay up on this show, man.
It's tough. What's so crazy is, like, I know everything that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And... I wish I can chime in and tell you guys,
right.
but I can't.
So, could you give us a list of like five people?
I'm just
being
like torture here, going,
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Like four people.
Yeah.
Can I use my 50-50, Jacob?
Can't do it, man.
Can I phone a friend?
Can't do it. No spoilers, man.
Just tell us if it was someone in the club.
All I can tell you is everything will be answered in the end.
Jacob,
everything I feel like you need a crystal ball.
You're doing a great job, Jacob. Kurt Sutter would be proud.
FX's PR is not going to be angry.
No. but yeah, man, I honestly at this point, I was so convinced that it was Jury. To find out that it wasn't him, it was such a throw last week. And I honestly don't know who it could possibly be. It's definitely going to be a huge shock, whoever it is. Because there's no clear motive for anyone else within the club.
I honestly just hope to God it's not going to be like... Oh, it was this guy who was in the bushes during the thing that we've never met before. But like, I would like if a guy got away.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it was just a guy who got away.
I can tell you it's somebody that you see every week on the show.
Okay, it is a main character. All right. It is someone we see every week.
So what that means is it's Montez.
Yeah,
it is me.
Wait, you wouldn't tell us if it was the truth.
What's the name of the big tall dude?
What, Quinn?
Quinn, yeah, because I was thinking about that earlier.
Why would Quinn get West killed? They jumped in at the same time.
Yeah, we got chartered over, you know.
They got patched over at the same time, man.
Wait, why would Quinn get West killed?
Yeah. There's no good reason.
I don't know, man. I mean, it's just he's very silent, and he's a silent observer, and he knows exactly what's going on with everything, and mm-hmm. he doesn't talk much, so we can't really get a character base on him. Mm-hmm. We don't know his standing, really. We just know that he's a big, tall dude who's basically a fly on the wall in every single scene.
But a big, right. tall dude that Bobby vouched for.
But he's also he's also always around the family. He could have very easily went into the room mm-hmm. and stabbed the bunny through the eye in the wall and carved out into the wall without anyone really realizing it.
So you're mm-hmm. saying he's working for Marks, not for Lynn.
I always said the
Well, he was a nomad in the beginning, so he wasn't, you know, didn't really belong to
anybody.
To any actual, yeah, any real charter. So then he comes over through Bobby.
I've been saying the rat has been talking to Marks probably the entire time, and Lynn found out through Marks.
Hmm.
Like, that's what I think. Because it's weird because you look at what we think Marks didn't know, but I honestly think Marks knew everything the whole time. He just... Hmm. He's scary.
He didn't know that Jax was going to get him arrested.
He didn't know that.
Hanging out at the Federal in North Hollywood.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. He's getting that brunch.
Eating that pastrami Benedict at brunch.
It's got sauerkraut on it, guys. Yeah. It's got sauerkraut and mustard.
He never got to finish it either. That's
exactly.
That's a true crime there.
Yes, it's true. They have a good menu there. all right. At this point, I'm going to just talk really briefly about iTunes. You know, folks, I say it every week, and only because it's the truth. Don't skip ahead, because this is important information for your everyday life. The best way to support AfterBuzz TV is to go to iTunes, rate and review the shows that you listen to or that you watch on YouTube. It's quick, it's easy, it doesn't cost you a single solitary dime. You know, we here at AfterBuzz, we put out over 80 hours of free after-show podcast content every single week. It's the widest array of after-show content on any platform. It's a big achievement. We work really, really hard to make sure that you get these podcasts on time, when you want them, where you want them, about the shows that you like. We want it to be quality. We want to have great guests like Jacob. And the best way that we can do that to show people that we are a quality institution, that we are worth supporting and worth joining on our shows, is to get those great reviews. And you also get a great shout out here on the show.
Wouldn't you guys want Matt as your hype man?
Yeah, he's
like
great.
Just following you around.
You know,
like,
and you guys are like give me a big old clock on a chain.
You guys are like great super fans. You guys really like get into it and know like everything and everything about the show.
That's very
impressive, man. Yeah.
So let's do some shout outs real quick. 28th was our last show, correct?
I believe so.
All right. So Harold from Palmdale says, great podcast to listen to while driving to work. Stormy Woods, who tweets at us consistently. Shout out to you. Just stop tweeting us spoilers, please.
Yeah, please don't tweet at us while you're watching the show, because we watch it later than you, and you've spoiled multiple episodes for us. We love your enthusiasm, but please don't.
It's a big paragraph, but I'll just say, Jax is the monster Gemma created. Abel at 5 is the smartest person on this season. His look of hatred to Gemma was fantastic for last episode. Awesome by Hovit 006. Love the podcast. You guys have great perspective on the show and always bring to light things that we might miss. Great show by Danny Level. Love listening to you guys. While I'm working, it distracts me from the heartache I am getting weekly from the show. I just mentioned, though, we still don't know who the rat is. Wouldn't it be ironic if it was actually Rat? That is so Kurt Sutter. He would be trying to pull a fast one on us. Shout out from Final Season Outlawed Paint. 3 stars. Hey, guys, what is going on with you guys this year? 20 to 30-minute podcast to cover mainly an hour and a half of more episodes of Final Season. Guys, sadly, it's really tough because our shooting schedules, unfortunately, we have to start watching either at 7:50 or 7:30 or 8:15, and then we have to...
The problem is, folks, you know, at AfterBuzz, we are now doing more shows than we've ever been doing before at the same time. And the show, we never know exactly how long it's going to be. We try to make sure that we have an hour in the studio, but more often than not, it just doesn't happen. And we try our best. We try to give you the best show that we possibly can. Unfortunately, sometimes just time gets the better of us.
But I would... There's your explanation. Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
Which is why we're keeping the shout-out short. So who else are we thinking?
All right, the missing page is FL Moto Chick and Great from JBoy399. Exceptional Podcast by TParker8 and AfterBuzz is Awesome by Ashby2315.
All right. Thank you so much, folks, for your shout-out, for all your reviews and your ratings. Please keep them coming. We got 4 episodes left this season. Let's end with a bang. All right. So on the other side of things, we've got... Jerry, we've got Chibs, we've got Unser, we've got Gemma, we've got this whole mix. Gemma, Unser comes to Gemma early in the episode, lets her know that she's going to be called in to ID Chris Dunn. To ID Chris Dunn. And she does so just so very flatly, so very dryly. Yep, that's him. Yeah, he's the one I saw. Okay, can I get out of here now? Her hatred of cops is just very, very raw. Mm-hmm. And she treats Jerry like crap.
I don't blame her, though, really.
Well, that shove, man. She shoved her.
Oh, my.
Like, across the room.
She, like, threw her over backwards. She literally, she lost her feet.
That was awesome.
It was insane. Yeah. And then the look from Nero.
Oh, Nero's, Jimmy's just great.
What are you doing?
Like, I want to get out of here.
Yeah.
I want to go do another season of Dexter.
No.
I'm just kidding.
I love how you guys gave Jimmy an accent. That he doesn't have.
Right? He does not have that accent.
No, we love Jimmy.
No, Jimmy's great.
I don't blame Gemma for not liking cops because Unser's the only really one she'll talk to after the whole rape thing.
Well,
so.
It's just because Jerry is a crooked cop and is acting
right,
like she's not.
Yeah.
She also brings up that Jerry's sleeping with Chibs.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you think told Gemma that?
I think the entire club knows.
Yeah,
any
sure.
of them could
yeah.
have told her.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think
yeah. the entire club knows.
Yeah, I doubt it's a big secret. He goes back and yeah, everybody knows.
Yeah, Jax knows. And if Jax knows, I imagine everyone knows.
Sure.
It's no secret.
All right.
Yeah.
I didn't know how on the DL they were keeping that.
Oh, here's the thing.
It's never on the DL.
If you're
with
brothers.
Guys, it's never.
They're they're brothers, okay? Chibs isn't coming back to home or to the clubhouse or wherever he's staying for the first time in years. He's found a woman for the first time in years. Okay, everyone's going to know. Everyone's going to know.
They're like, do you guys smell pig?
Oh, stop it. But yeah, so she like completely gets into a shoving match with Jerry and and she's like, listen, you ever slap me again, I'll shoot you in the throat. That's easily my favorite Gemma line of this episode.
Yeah. In the throat.
In the throat.
Not in the head, not in the throat.
Yeah, it was just very intense.
Graphic. And
great
shout
delivery.
Out to Mike August, who said that that's where Clay was shot.
Mm-hmm. In the throat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That just sounds painful.
Very, very painful. So Jerry and Unser are continuing their investigation, and Jerry pulls something very, very important, very, very crucial, that Gemma didn't think of when she pegged this guy.
I was thinking this whole episode in my mind, so I can't prove it, but literally I was thinking, like, what if he was out of town? Like, what if he has an alibi?
Yeah.
Like, what if he has, and not like 10 seconds after I actually say it, oh, look, I have this alibi here for this Chris Dunn guy.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, what do you think Jax will put two and together when he finds out that this guy had an alibi when Gemma's the one who, at the party, says, that's the guy.
Well,
that's the one.
Well, what I don't get is, why doesn't Unser go and tell
Jax?
Jax that.
Because he doesn't know, know what Jax knows, and he doesn't want him to be making any moves behind his back. It's why he tells Jerry not to tell the club anything about Chris Dunn.
But that always worries me.
Right.
Well, it's like
all these actions are being taken because they don't know. Maybe if they just knew something.
If everyone just sits down in a room and shares everything that they know.
Right.
Yeah.
Then there'd be no show.
This is your intervention. We're just going to all talk real quick. You hold the pillow first, Jax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's just talk it out.
Yeah.
But, let's just find out what Kurt Sutter is doing right now.
Well, that's the thing, though. He tells her not to tell the club because he is actively putting a stop to their hit on Lynn. He doesn't want it to happen. He didn't want to be party to it in the first place. Mm-hmm. And now that there's no reason to let it happen, he's absolutely shutting it down. So he doesn't want... Jax is completely irrational. He's very, very aware of it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want Jax to turn on him or try to push him in any way to make this happen, to get Juice out of Solitary. Mm-hmm. It's very, very, very important that they conduct this investigation quietly so that until they have all the information, you know, that they're not going to do anything stupid.
Right. And also, all this just happened so quickly, too.
Yeah.
You know, at 4 o'clock, Bobby was dead, you know, so I don't know how much time went after, you know, Unser and Jerry had that conversation. But, you know, you hold off a little bit and things happen.
It's true. And also, like, we have to remember, from Unser's perspective, there is no good reason for Juice or Gemma to have killed Tara and Roosevelt.
Right.
There is no good reason. And even though they are so completely guilty of something, it's hard for him, I think, to accept the fact that that's what's going on.
Do you think we're going to get... Okay, Breaking Bad. Oh, I can't talk about Breaking Bad because you haven't seen it.
It's okay.
Do you think we're going to get some Dean Norris moment where it's just like...
I thought we were about to have it at the end of the episode where he's staring at his little crime scene wall.
Yeah, it seemed like that. But, like, when you say it like how you just said it, where it's like Gemma, in his mind, Gemma and Juice have no reason to have killed Tara, I'm just like... Is he even going to believe it when he finds out about it? Or is he going to confront Gemma because, oh, it couldn't be true?
Well, that's the thing. The one smart thing that he does do in this episode, or the smartest thing, is when Jerry mentions talking to Gemma, he's like, no, don't talk to her. You know, she'll just say that, you know,
it's an Asian guy. They all look
Asian
the same.
People
right,
look the same.
When he said that line, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Don't let her know. Wait till we figure this out. I'm actually pretty glad that Jerry let Chibs know, or let him, or just sort of like drop the Chris Dunn bomb on him, and tested his loyalty, because, I mean, she's going to share more. The more information that gets into the club's hands, the better chance we have of
something being found out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Someone in the club doing anything to look into this. It's the first time that doubt has been cast all season. It only took us 9 episodes. That's what I'm saying. We only have 4 left.
Right. I was so hoping that we would get it by like episode 5 and then have the story arcs just machine gun it to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's really just setting up for
Chibs
a grand
has
finale.
So Chibs has it, and he's the vice president, so he's going to go to, I believe he would go to Jackson.
Well, Chibs doesn't really have anything of use, because all she said was, do you know who Chris Dunn is? She didn't say, this guy has an alibi, did you know that? Mm-hmm. All she said is, I know about Chris Dunn.
Well, but she was trying to see if the club murdered him. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Chibs doesn't find out any new information. Mm.
But that's before he took her on top of a cop car in front of Quinn.
In front of Quinn.
Yeah. Who's just, I just got to sit here during
again,
this?
Fly on the wall. Quinn, yeah, big guy,
well,
doesn't
you know,
talk,
well,
watching everything.
There was actually a line written there in the original script that I thought it was great, where he says, that's happening. Yeah,
but his look said it all. It was so funny, even without the line.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, you guys haven't taken a cop on a cop car before?
Not personally.
With your friend watching on a motorcycle?
Yeah. No.
Jacob,
it's my bucket list.
Yeah.
Can't dare do that before I croak.
Gotta take care of it.
Yeah, I gotta take care of that.
Yeah.
But it was a hot scene, though, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. We got to see some Chib ass. It's what we all,
right,
what
yeah,
we all needed.
Hey, man, Jerry's fine.
A lot of bare man ass this
season.
Yeah.
Even in this episode.
A lot of juice ass. A lot of gratuitous juice ass this season.
And Juice has to stick a big tube up his anus.
Oh, yeah.
And so they even add the sound effects and everything.
Oh, because we needed sound effects.
Can you imagine the sound guy adding those sound effects in the studio?
Can you imagine the guy trying to find a sound effect and
can you make it sound tighter?
Did he? Yeah, the question is, like, did he look up like gay porn and like try to find the sound effect?
No, I'm sure it was something far less gratuitous.
Right.
You know, I'm sure it's just the sound of like
pickle
like,
in a mayo jar.
Yeah, I think it's the sound of, you know, when you open dog food and it
tumbles out.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think that's what it was.
Something like that.
Yeah, Alpo.
Yeah,
help.
Another storyline just to keep pinned. No movement on it this week is Nero trying to get out of the life and move to a farm, trying to take Gemma with him. She reminds him, "Oh, you're the only stable thing in my life." And I'm like, "Yep, you're the only stable thing in my life, which is why I'm going to leave you like a bag of trash."
The only stable thing in my life.
Or sounds like you're gonna die. Yeah, it sounds like it's a setup there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like something's gonna.
Gemma, baby, I'm gonna leave you tomorrow. Yeah, I'm gonna leave tomorrow, not today, because there's still time for me to die today.
Mm-hmm.
I have to leave tomorrow because then there will be no time at all for me to die.
Because there's no way Gemma could be happy.
Yeah.
You know?
There's no way she's going to go with him.
No.
And, I mean, there's no way he's going to fit in with those cardigans out there, but like...
Right.
Well, here's the thing with Gemma
I love those cardigans.
I love them too. Yeah. Well, I want one.
There's a Twitter account called Nero's Cardigan.
Seriously?
It's all about Nero's cardigan. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really, just like, he throws him some swag. Yeah. He's like, just like rolling.
I love those cardigans. But speaking of Gemma, she finally, like, I mean, she's been seeing effects of what her choices have done all season long, but to have Bobby be a casualty.
Yeah.
Has she, though? Like, has she seen the effects? Because I really feel like last episode was the first time she's really seen effects, and it was with freaking crows.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, because that's the whole thing last episode. I was like, yeah, Gemma, finally you see something happening that's negative towards you, aside from your grandson having no mom.
Maybe it's the first time it hit her doorstep.
Right. Yeah.
Well, she had West got killed
she
early
didn't
on.
Care
but I
get
that
guy.
The Diosa girls.
The Diosa girls got
that she didn't care about
shot
them.
Up.
Yeah.
She hated Colette. She didn't care about
anybody. So maybe Bobby's the first one they actually cared about that was killed.
It's the only one that seemed to really beat her up aside from her birds.
Well, that's because Bobby's been her friend for years, for decades. Yeah. And she never expected that he would be a result of this, that his death would be a result of it. Again, no one's watching Abel, and he's just wandering around listening to conversations with oneself that he should not be listening to.
Guys, and he's eating too many cookies at night.
You're dragging
that,
mud
that,
in.
That's
that night sugar, that's that why he sugar. Always walks around looking haunted all the time, not because he lost his mother from his grandmother, but because of all that night sugar.
That night sugar.
Guys, you're dragging mud in. You got to leave the kid alone for like 10 minutes. Let him discover that his mom caused another death.
Right.
And in the scene in this episode where he's like, did somebody die again?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, they're going to. Sorry, bro.
Well, I love even last episode when Gemma said, oh, it's a mistake, you know, and do you know what a mistake is?
An accident.
Accident, right.
Do
he says,
you?
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just that delivery was awesome.
Like, I'm just sort of like, he's sitting there with his dad. They're hanging out for the first time in forever. Tell your dad what you know, child.
I don't think he knows anything.
Hmm.
To be perfectly honest, like, I don't think he knows how to interpret what she said or how to...
He knows not to trust her.
Yeah, but I don't think he knows like how to spread that knowledge because, honestly, it would be him going up to Jax, him saying, "I heard mommy say that she killed. I heard grandma say that she killed mommy, and that it was an accident." And Jax is going to interpret that as, "Oh, Gemma feels guilty for Tara's murder. I'm going to go comfort Tara.
Is that Gemma. That your Jax voice?
I'm going to comfort Tara."
Yeah.
No, we got to go take out August Marks.
Okay. I think Jax would take it a little more seriously than that. Whenever his kid tells him something, he considers it kind of critically. When anybody else tells him something about his kid, he ignores it. But when Abel speaks to him, he listens and he responds.
Okay, I think here's what I'll say. I think that Abel tells him, and I think he interprets the way I believe he'll interpret it, and I think when he gets more information from Unser, or finds out more information, then two and two will click up.
I still think Abel kills Gemma. I think he picks up a gun, he takes care of it, and his fate is sealed. I think that's one of the most heartbreaking ways you could end this show.
And he would
that'd
just
be
say,
great way to end the show.
It's an accident.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Abel just says, Daddy, it was an accident.
And then just go right into closing montage. Yeah. No, maybe not.
Maybe the series finale of the show is just a 90-minute music montage with no dialogue. With Katie Sagal singing covers from all of the favorite 80s songs.
No.
But Kirk could do it.
I'm sure he could.
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
All right, so we get a little mini Rat and Brooke subplot.
Mm-hmm.
Brooke, who was introduced last season, seemingly out of nowhere, and has just been around this year. She's with Rat. We get a sense of their relationship. Rat doesn't
Maybe
know.
She's a rat.
Well,
She's
been around, and she did used to have beef with the club, but they also gave her a purpose for the first time in her life, so I don't know that she's...
But then she says she's on meds, and sometimes she doesn't know who she is.
Yeah, it's possible. It was a nice little moments between them. I would have preferred maybe just more active plots, but I'm glad to see some relationships blossoming.
Tell me what you thought about that line Gemma tells Rat, because when Rat tells Brooke to get out because he's talking about Chris Dunn, Gemma says, "You don't get the old lady you want, you get the old lady who's just like you." And it kind of is interesting when you look at Gemma and Clay and how Gemma started with John Teller.
Yeah.
And then when he was gone, she became the person who was just like Clay.
Interesting. Yeah, definitely something to put a pin in. Unfortunately, we're low on time, and I want to be able to talk to Jacob.
Fascinating, though.
I know, but we got to talk about Indian Hills.
Okay,
we got to talk about the forum that's coming. I guess we kind of talked about it a little bit earlier, but do we have any predictions about what's happening there? Do we think that doesn't circle back till the very end of the series?
I think it's a slow burning flame throughout. Like, I feel like that's not going to catch fire till the final episode.
Hmm. But also, you know, Kurt Sutter could write things, you know, like the what do they call it, the red robin, or what do they call it? The
red herring.
Yeah.
Can, you know, to throw things out to throw people off.
Yeah.
That could be
I'm still waiting for that episode everyone hails as the Red Wedding of Sons of Anarchy.
Well, we've only got four episodes left, right, so it's got to be coming soon.
Oh, my God. Do we have anything else we forgot to talk about from this episode?
Not necessarily. I think it's just sort of like it's on now between Moses Cartwright and the club.
I think this is a big turning point for the show.
Yeah.
So now it's just like you said, it's on now.
Yeah. It's just we're heading into the final conflict. Yeah. You know, Marx is in prison. Who knows how long he'll actually wind up there? The Lin hit now isn't happening. They need to get Juice in a room with him so that they can get this confession via audio tape. I don't know how that's going to happen now that Juice's innocence in the Terra murder is in question.
You think we could get? You think we're going to get any kind of ending similar, like maybe Sopranos cut to black with Jax dead? Because like the story is told from Jax's perspective, technically.
Mm-hmm. Well, so if it's first of all, Tony Soprano didn't die in the Sopranos. It just cut to black before. You don't know. You don't know if he's getting shot or not.
Uh-huh.
That was the whole reason why people were frustrated. If you want a show that ended after, well, I'm not going to spoil that that just ended.
But because the show's told basically from Jack's perspective in a way, and he's writing these journals, so I kind of imagine Jack's death would be the end of the show.
I disagree. I mean, look, it could end a myriad of ways. We don't have a ton of time, so maybe this is something we can talk about in future weeks. I want to talk to you, Jacob, about your time on the show.
Right.
So, you know, you came in so late, you know, in the series.
Yes.
It obviously, I'm sure, was very intimidating jumping into a show that was this popular with a cast that was this tight-knit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was, you know, these guys have been in, you know, 7 years and they've become a family. So, you know, we came in, you know, it was, I guess Quinn, West and myself, you know, came in and we got, you know, we kind of patched over from another charter.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so just trying to kind of fit into this group, you know, it was a bit challenging. I mean, the guys were cool, but you can tell, you know, it was like the cool kids hung out and we were like the, you know, it was like the first day of school for us. And so it was a bit challenging. And also, you know, I wasn't a good writer either. Like, actually, I just learned to write for the show.
Mm-hmm.
So in one of the very first times that scene that I did when we were writing, I popped the clutch and I stalled out and ruined the shot. And so the guys all rolled back and like, and Charlie flipped me the finger.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, oh, wow, that's great, you know.
Damn, great way to feel included.
But, you know, but that was his way of, I guess, you know, that's how those guys, you know, mess around. That's how they, you know, they carry on with each other. So anyway, it was like a welcome to the club.
Yeah.
But, you know, but my ego hurt for a while on that one. Yeah, it was tough. It was tough pill to swallow.
Yeah. You guys just wrapped the final episode, what, yesterday, the day before?
They finally wrapped last Thursday. Yeah.
Last Thursday,
yeah.
And you had a big party over at Telemoro.
Yeah, you know, the cast and crew hung out and we had some beers and we had a little party. But it's crazy to see, you know, we're at Telemoro, the shop, hanging out, you know, and everybody's partying in Unser's trailer. So that was the
hot box.
That was a hot box, right? I don't want to say it, but that's what it was, man.
You're not implicating anybody. Okay,
I'm not saying who, but there was a lot of hot boxing in Unser's trailer. Just so you know.
It was medicinal. He has cancer, guys. Yeah, come on.
There you go. He's dying of cancer. And, you know, it's left over from, you know, in his ashtray.
Yeah. So hardcore fans are probably aware Kurt Sutter was going to direct the series finale, but he got appendicitis. And Paris Barclay, who's directed more episodes of the show than anybody, wound up directing it. Do you think that it will still live up to, you know, the finale that Kurt Sutter intended to make?
Well, you know, Kurt directed most of it.
Okay.
He only missed a couple of days.
Okay.
So he went in Monday and Tuesday, and Wednesday, I guess. So and then Kurt came in the last day to finish off.
Mm-hmm.
So and then he shot, you know, a week before that. So I believe so. I believe it's going to be totally Kurt's vision.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
You go ahead. I'm trying to think of how to word questions.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't want to ask for direct spoilers because
What was your favorite scene to shoot during your time on the show? Is it something that's yet to come? Is it something last year?
On the show, you know, actually last season was cool. I got to shoot somebody in the head, you know, so that was kind of cool. And, and we splashed some blood on Tig's hair, and he's like, "The hair, dude, the hair." Mm-hmm. You know, that was a very cool moment. And you know, there's a nice scene coming up next week with Quinn and I, where you know we get left in the cabin to watch over Latricia and Grant, and so we could do some comedy and get to do some moments together.
Oh, that's
so
great.
That's kind of cool. Yeah, so that's coming up next week.
In the scheme of things, you've watched the show from the beginning, I'm guessing, and you're caught up completely. When you look at the finale, do you think fans are going to be happy, or do you think they're going to be a bittersweet kind of feeling?
It's a tough one, man. You know, it's one of those things. You can't please everybody. You know, just hearing you guys talk and reading, everybody has their own opinion, their own idea of how the show should go. So I'm sure there's going to be people that are going to be satisfied and other people that aren't. You know, it's going to live up to their expectations, because, you know, our imagination is taking us in one direction, and Kurt's going to take us in a different direction. Mm-hmm. But I think it's definitely going to be exciting, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely.
Have we seen the end of the violence up to this point?
Oh, hell no. No, it's just beginning, man.
Oh,
right.
Man.
It's just starting.
All right.
It's just starting.
So, Jacob, I want to thank you for coming on the show.
It's been
with
a pleasure,
us.
Man.
It's been a blast talking
to you.
Can people find you online? Are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter. I am the Jacob Vargas.
Okay.
At Twitter, and I'm verified, so I'm the one Jacob Vargas with
the
little check.
The one with the check mark.
And I'm also on Instagram as the Jacob Vargas.
Okay, and do you have anything else coming up you want people to know about?
Yeah, well, I have a movie coming out next year called The 33, which is a true story of the Chilean miners that were trapped for 69 days. And, you know, in 2010, it was like one of the most watched rescues in television history. And I play Edison Peña, who on top of being a Chilean miner was also an Elvis impersonator.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah, you can't, you know, and so he dressed like Elvis, sang like Elvis. I do an Elvis
just
number
like
in the movie.
Just like Bobby Elvis.
Just like Bobby Elvis. You know, that was our connection when I first met. I was like, dude, I'm playing Elvis in this movie, and you're Bobby Elvis.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, whatever, kid. Move over. You're my chair.
What's interesting about that is I wonder if it's shot as like a rescue film, or as if it's the psychological drama that comes from having 33 people trapped in that one mine shaft.
It's more it's a little of both.
Okay,
but a lot of psychological. You know what these guys go through, and it's shot beautifully. I mean, I went to do some ADR for it, and I saw some of the images, and it's shot like these, you know, paintings. I mean, it's you know, because it's very low lighting. You know, you just get to see the pain, that these guys endured, and you know, we got put on a very strict diet, and so we lost a ton of weight. So you get to see the progression of the weight loss, and you know, and it's got some amazing actors in it. You know, well, Antonio Banderas was down there with us. We shot an actual mine in Colombia and Chile.
Oh wow!
And you know, Lou Diamond Phillips is there with us. Carlos. Oscar Nunez from The Office, Juliette Binoche. I mean, it's a great
Beautiful.
Cast. Yeah, so that should be out next year.
Did you have any worries being cast in that? Like, did you have to get a physical, get like a psychological review, or just kind of do anything to prepare for that role?
No, they just put us on diet and threw us in a mine.
All right.
That's kind of it. Have at it, guys. Have a good time.
Awesome.
There you go.
Steven, where can the people find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter at Steven Lemieux, STPHENLEMIEUX, as well as doing the Sleepy Hollow podcast here at AfterBuzz TV, Helix 2 coming up, as well as Halo Nightfall, and I want to do 12 Monkeys.
Okay. Well, folks, you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman, MattLieberman. You can find all my videos for SourceFed Nerd, and on my personal channel on YouTube, youtube.com/MatthewDLieberman. Want to thank you all so much for joining us. We'll see you next week. Good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.